Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a privilege it is to bring it to the Lord in prayer. Corrie ten Boom, some of you might be familiar with her. Corrie ten Boom asks the question about prayer. She says, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Now, what in the world might she be getting at there? Well, is prayer an integral, central part of your life that is a driving force as you go through life? Or is it something that gets pulled out when things are going wrong and that's about it? Well, we've tried everything else. I think it's time to pray. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? I think the role of prayer in our lives depends partly on how we view prayer. You know, what is prayer? What is its purpose? How does it factor into our lives? Perhaps sometimes prayer can be seen as one of those things that nice Christians do when they go to church. We all say the Lord's Prayer together, and that's something you do as a nice Christian. Perhaps it's sometimes viewed as a heavenly gumball machine where you put in your prayer and out comes the blessing. But what is prayer? Well, we know that it's talking to our Lord, isn't it? Today, Jesus teaches about prayer, and we find Jesus at prayer. And for Jesus, prayer was an integral part of his life with God the Father. And this is the mystery that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ is, in fact, true God, divine. And yet, the mystery is our Savior Jesus is also true man with skin, with flesh, with thoughts and emotions, with feelings and desires. And as Jesus goes through his ministry, prayer is part of that relationship, part of spending time with his Heavenly Father. In the Gospel of Luke, which we look at today, the Gospel of Luke features prayer in Jesus' life and ministry. And if you go through different parts of Luke, you're going to see different places where Jesus is praying. We see it in Luke chapter 3, for example. When Jesus is being baptized, after he's baptized, as he is praying, the heavens open, the Spirit comes down, and the voice says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Luke chapter 5, we read that Jesus, after working and helping with the crowds, would go off to a desert place to go pray. Luke chapter 9, at the Transfiguration, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and as he was praying, his face was changed and his appearance was changed. The Transfiguration. Luke chapter 22, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what is he doing there? He is praying, "Father, if it be possible, please remove this cup of suffering, but not my will, yours be done." In our reading for today, we again find Jesus praying. It says in Luke 11, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" The disciples had noticed Jesus in prayer, and they were curious. They wanted to learn more about this. So Jesus has the opportunity to teach them about prayer. So what does Jesus say? Luke chapter 11, verse 2, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Sounds pretty familiar, right? It's very similar to what we say every single Sunday. Jesus also mentions what we call the Lord's Prayer, or what could be called the disciples' prayer, in Matthew chapter 6 during the Sermon on the Mount. But we see here in a different instance that Jesus is again teaching prayer to his disciples. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's something that we've prayed quite often. Now, what is Jesus' purpose when he gives these words? Is Jesus giving the right formula so that we will somehow be heard properly? Is there a special combination of words that somehow unlock the power of prayer so that we can be heard by our Heavenly Father? I don't think so. Sometimes when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it can become almost a ritual. I'm guilty of this, and maybe you are too, where I have said the Lord's Prayer and I've been thinking about completely different things. I'm vocalizing a bunch of words, but my mind is elsewhere. I wonder how many times we've all said the Lord's Prayer together. Today is, my mom reminded me, the anniversary of my installation here at this congregation. So it's been 5 years that I've been with you. And if we go 52 times 5, that's, 260. So we've together prayed the Lord's Prayer at least 260 times. And if you've grown up in the church, my, I don't know how many times we've prayed the Lord's Prayer. But is it just some nice formula? I don't think so. When we look at some of the pagan religions and the societies, what we see is this desire to somehow appease or to coax the particular deity. There are particular sacrifices that are done in a certain way. We think about the prophets of Baal that were there on Mount Carmel. And as they were appeasing to Baal, what were they doing? They were cutting themselves, drawing blood, trying to garner the god's attention, and they were shouting out all these different words, hoping that they would be heard. The Romans, before they would go on their conquests, would have certain rituals, hoping for victory, that their god would hear them, and that their god would answer and give them what they need. So is prayer finding the right combination of words so that we can somehow get God to pay attention to us, saying just the right words? Is there a certain way to pray? Is it better to pray on your knees or to pray standing up? Is it better to use short, simple words or long, flowery phrases? Sometimes, you know, pastors are asked to pray and, you know, the temptation could be to try to be impressive. And people are just saying, you know what, I'm hungry. Just wrap up your prayer, please. You know, please, seriously. Yeah. Prayer is not about whether you're on your knees or you're standing. And it's not about saying just the right combination of words that somehow we're going to impress God with our words. It's not about something that we do as a mantra or a ritual. It's not a heavenly gumball machine where we put in our prayer and we get our blessing. But rather, prayer is something that stems from the relationship that God has given to you because of Christ Jesus. When Jesus was praying to his Father, it was because there was a relationship. When you desire to get to know someone, when you love someone, you spend time with them, and you count that as a privilege. And Jesus spent time with his Heavenly Father, receiving strength and wisdom. And because Christ has died for you and risen, because as Colossians mentions, we are connected with Jesus in baptism, because you have been made God's child, you have the privilege of coming to your Heavenly Father as a child to a parent, to bring forth the joys and the sorrows, the hopes and the dreams, the fears and the wonderings and the questions, knowing that he loves you. The words that our Lord gives us in the Lord's Prayer are phenomenal, not as a special combination, but rather as wonderful petitions for us to help focus our minds and our hearts as we bring those before our Heavenly Father. As we read in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism, I love these words as it's describing the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then asking for the daily bread, Jesus, like a child asking for food, Jesus, please, our dear Father, please give me what I need for this day, the provisions of body and soul. And as we go through the different petitions, these are wonderful, vital things that we can bring before our Heavenly Father because there is a relationship, because God has reached down to you through Jesus, your Savior, and has made you his own child. What a privilege it is to come to the Lord, to take it to the Lord in prayer, as we heard in our hymn. With all boldness and confidence. Now, there are times when we're not feeling so bold when we come to prayer. There might be different reasons for this. Maybe there are times when we wonder if God is really going to hear us. After all, God has a lot on his plate, and some of the things that you might bring before him might seem rather trivial, rather small in the grand scheme of things as we look at the world. And if you turn on the news and you see all the stuff going on, you might think, boy, my issue seems rather small. Maybe I shouldn't bother God. He perhaps is rather busy. Or perhaps there's a sense of unworthiness. Or maybe we wonder if he'll hear our prayers. I saw kind of a weird cartoon the other day of one of those where the guy comes and St. Peter's at the gate. St. Peter's there, and the guy is wondering about his prayers. It seems like God has not answered his prayers. And Peter looks and he says, well, it looks like some of your prayers ended up in God's spam folder. Thankfully, that's not the case. That's ridiculous. God does, in fact, hear our prayers, and he desires for us to come to him. Why? Because you are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he desires to hear your prayer. God is not too busy to hear your prayer. Jesus gives a little story about coming to the Lord in boldness. It's kind of a bizarre story. Try to put yourself into the story here. Talks about the guy who comes to the neighbor at midnight asking for some bread. Okay, so imagine you've gotten ready for bed, you got your shower, you got your night clothes on, and you're in your bed, you're getting ready to sleep, starting to count those sheep, and all of a sudden, bam, 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 bam. What in the world? What is going on? You get to the door and there's somebody there. Hi, how's it going? Can I have some bread? Excuse me? Do you know what time it is? It's midnight. I need some bread. I got a guest. Well, didn't you go to, like, Roth's or Wehrmacht? Well, they're closed. I got an early morning tomorrow. But he's insistent. And you look and you say, okay, fine. This is ridiculous. Here's your bread. You might be pretty upset if somebody were to do that to you. And in this story, you can imagine the guy was not too happy to get up and give this guy his loaves of bread. It's kind of a bizarre story. But what Jesus is pointing to in this little story is the boldness that this person has as he comes and asks for this bread. Poor timing, poor planning, and yet he comes with the audacity and the boldness to ask for the bread. And our Lord would invite us to come with the petitions that we have, with boldness and confidence. Maybe you've had a guest in your home, and you're wanting to be a good host or hostess, and as they come into your home, you tell them, if you need anything, just ask. If you need anything, just ask. Mi casa es su casa. Just if you need anything, just ask. And maybe you've been the guest. And maybe as you've come to the house, you're thinking, okay, that sounds great. And then you realize that there's maybe some soap in the bathroom, a lack of soap, and you're wanting to take a shower, and there's no more soap left, and you forgot your soap. And maybe you're feeling kind of timid about asking for more soap. You don't want to impose. There might be different reasons why you don't want to take advantage of the request that the friend has given and the opportunity. Just ask. Just ask. There might be different reasons why we are not wanting to ask our Lord. But you see, knowing that your Heavenly Father loves you, that he cares about you, gives us that opportunity to just ask. To just take it to the Lord in prayer, knowing that he will hear you for the sake of Jesus. After this, Jesus talks about the love of the Heavenly Father in answering the prayers. Luke chapter 11:11, he gives an example of a father's provision. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is pointing out that your Heavenly Father loves you. He knows what you need. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, was pondering the love that the Heavenly Father had for him. And as he was thinking of taking some of his children to China, he said these words, "I'm taking my children with me, and I notice that it is not difficult to remember that they need breakfast in the morning, dinner at midday, and supper at night. Indeed, I could not forget them if I tried. And I find it impossible to think that our Heavenly Father is less tender and mindful of his children than I, a poor earthly father, am of mine. No, he will not forget us." As we bring our petitions to the Lord in prayer, the Lord will answer. Sometimes the Lord will answer yes. Sometimes the Lord will answer wait. And sometimes the Lord will answer no. But we can trust that our Heavenly Father knows exactly what's best for us. In the case of a man by the name of George Mueller, we see a wonderful yes that God gave to him. George Mueller was a person who ran an orphanage in England. Pretty amazing guy. And George Mueller spent much time with the Lord in prayer. There was one morning where the orphans were gathering for breakfast, and they realized that there was no food for the orphans. This is a big situation, a big deal. George Mueller, though, told the orphans to go ahead and sit around the table. And he said, "We are going to thank the Lord for the food which he is going to provide." Well, that morning, as they're sitting down to eat, they get a knock on the door. And they hear from the guy who runs the milk truck. And he said, "George, I have a bit of a situation. My milk truck broke down just down the road. The wheel fell off or something like that. I got all this milk, and if I don't distribute it, it's going to spoil. Could you guys use some extra milk?" Yeah. And so they had milk. Then I believe the baker also came and said, "George, you know, I just felt led last night to bake some extra bread. I don't know why, but could you use some extra bread this morning?" And so that morning, George Mueller witnessed as the Lord provided for those orphans in their time of need at just the right time. God answered yes to that provision. Now, sometimes the Lord says, "Wait. Yes, this is a good thing for you, but you're not ready for it yet. Wait. There will come a time and you will receive what you are asking for, but be patient." And sometimes I think the Lord may be giving us an opportunity to learn to trust, just as a parent might say, "Yes, we will go to the park in just a little bit, but for now, please wait." But then comes the answer that's difficult for us to hear sometimes. And the answer sometimes is no. If you are a parent, or you've worked with children at all, and you've said no to a child, what is the reaction sometimes? It's not always very positive. Sometimes children don't like to hear the word no. And sometimes God says no to us. But can we trust when the Lord says no that he has our best interest in mind? I've used this illustration before, but I think it's very useful for this moment. It's a country song called "Unanswered Prayers." Maybe some of you are familiar with "Unanswered Prayers." I believe Garth Brooks was the one who wrote it. And in this story, this man, as he was praying at one point in high school for this particular girl in his life. He was really sweet upon this girl, just a lovely young lady. And he was praying every night, "Lord, if you could just make this relationship work out, I'm going to serve you. I'm just going to be so happy. I'm not going to ask for anything else." Well, that relationship didn't work out. But then later on, as he's taking a walk with his lovely wife now, he happens to meet that old high school sweetheart. And as he strikes up a little conversation and catches up, he realizes, you know, thank God for unanswered prayers. Now, God does answer our prayers, but I would say in that case it was a no, because when God says no to a particular request, he does so out of love, because he has something better for you. We can trust that whatever God's answer to our prayers, whether it is yes, wait, or no, that He has our best interest in mind because He is our loving Heavenly Father. So as we go through life, I pray that we would have the opportunity of prayer being that steering wheel instead of the spare tire, because we have the privilege in that relationship with our Lord to come to Him knowing that Father knows best. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.